Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
All right, it is time for us to get into our mental health awareness conversation, and I'm very excited about this conversation. We are, always trying to grow, to learn more and more about mental health in order that we can, engage with people in a more respectful, compassionate, and understanding way in our different spheres of life, all right? And so today we're speaking about mental health in the office, in the workplace, and to help us, to guide us through this conversation is wellness and development consultant, award-winning wellness and development consultant, I might add, Tulika Kaza. Welcome to the show, sis. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Bongi, and Happy New Year to you
Happy New Year. Absolutely, absolutely. It is a Happy New Year, and happy to be having this conversation with you. Now, we know that workplaces, they often ignore the elephant in the room, which is mental health, and yet a happy and mentally healthy employee is also a more productive one. Whether it's the pressure to perform, lack of resources, stigma, mental health in the workplace is often an overlooked but very critical issue. So today we're going to be discussing why it is that mental health matters in the office and how organizations can create supportive environments for their teams. So why do you think mental health is often overlooked in workplace discussions, Tuli?
I think, to start off, let's first understand why each person is there. Okay. You have your perspective, the employee, of what you want out of the environment, mm-hmm. and the environment has its own expectation and intention of why it hired you, right? So for you as an individual, you're looking for growth, you're looking for the professional experience, and you're looking for the money. Notice, more often than not, we start with the growth aspect, followed by the experiential aspect, and then the money.
Right.
But when it comes to the organization, they hire you for your skills in return for money. That's where the story starts and ends for them. We hired you for your skills in return for money. The in-betweens are often overlooked because their primary intent is to make use of the skill set that you have to help them run their business operations. And that's where it often gets lost in translation. Some companies have started to open up their minds, though, to this. But off the bat, that's the main reason. You are looking for growth, experience, and money.
Yeah.
They're looking for your skills and give you money in return.
Sure. Sounds like a very cold exchange there.
Yes, for many years it has been. Mm. For many, many years it really has been. And we see this a lot, especially where there's physical labor required within the workplaces. That's where we often see a lot of this disparity. And even where there's, paperwork and administration, mm-hmm. we still do struggle a lot with most organizations to be meeting, the employees at their emotional and psychological needs.
Sure. That's something, because I'm thinking about the, how when you feel like you're just a number in the workplace, and you see this when you think about, if I fall ill, or if I were, God forbid, if I were to die today, I would be replaced before they've even started the funeral arrangements. They've replaced me. They've moved on. The organization must keep running. So that's a painful reality that we all have to face. Now, how can workplaces create an environment that actually supports mental well-being?
First off, let's have the conversation. Let's also understand that while you've hired me for my skill, I am an individual and I am a person.
Mm-hmm.
And individuals are attached to various systems, and their systems are their families and the people that depend and rely on them, or the people that they themselves depend and rely on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're not actually, it's not as cold as it's made to seem, but there's so many other moving parts. And what happens is that if I am not in a good mental space, I'm not able to problem solve, which means I can't perform, which means I can't deliver, which means we're dropping sales, which means, it's a whole chain and a ripple effect. And that's where it starts, that companies are still operating, quite a number of them are still operating on that old premise of, we hired you for a reason. So do the thing that we need you to do, and the rest is null and void. So yes, you hired me, But me is a very multifaceted person. There's my physical side, my actual mental capacity to serve. And these things are often distracted when our needs are not being met, our right. physiological needs not being met. So the disparity starts there. When what you're paying me is insufficient to meet my financial needs.
Yeah.
So now I'm in the office trying to perform, worried about whether I can afford a loaf of bread for me and my daughter. Therein lies problem one.
Yeah.
And you keep complimenting me. I'm doing well, but I'm not doing well financially.
Yeah. Yeah.
So mostly workplaces need to sit and see with their HR, of course, right? We have different personnel that are hired to run and perform certain functions. So, you know, as CEO, you're trusting the people below you to do their job. HR, yes, the HR department. They go through a lot on one end, and on the other end, they are part of the lot that other people go
going through.
Right? Yes, I have the privilege of engaging with people on both spectrums. But look, to support your people, you need to understand what it takes to be a sufficient and functional human resource. If you are unable to understand that, then you already have a problem. Because when you're going to overlook and undermine the reality of what it takes for a human being to be resourceful.
Sure.
All right. So it starts there. Sit with your people, seek to understand what works for them, what helps them perform, and what also the things that maybe are a stumbling block, even in the workplace, outside of now, you know, personal challenges that are a challenge for them in order to perform their tasks and their duties effectively within the environment.
So how then would you say that they can approach a situation where, let's say someone is, because of the situation at home or whatever mental health issues they might be facing, their work starts to, you know, the quality of the work starts to go down. Would this be a situation where now we must start to investigate what's happening? What do you need? What kind of support do you need? If the organization says, listen, we don't have time for all that. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. Or is there something that can actually be done in order to help to fix whatever is affecting the work?
I hear you. So this goes back to, you know, the act, the Children's Act that speaks to those. So in the workplace, there's also that, right? There's our roles and our responsibilities.
Sure.
Now, the responsibility of the organization, if they are willing and they have the financial capacity, would be to hire or have affiliates of mental health care professionals such as myself, who are their go-to people to refer their clients as and when a need arises.
Okay.
So what happens with most organizations that are open to mental health support is that they expand that community to be inclusive of diverse professionals. So for example, I specialize in trauma work, so more likely I'd be referred a client that's in line with trauma. Then we have others where it's more clinical. It could be you're struggling a lot with severe depression, or you need maybe medication that you should be taking, or you're struggling to maintain and upkeep of, or you've just switched your medication. So different healthcare professionals are accessible and available. And that's what usually, you know, these broader, more open-minded organizations would do. They have a dynamic approach. You as the person can talk to your senior. Your senior encourages you to reach out to HR or reaches out to HR for you. It depends on how the relational dynamic is in the workplace. And HR then takes over from there. HR will simply ask you, do you need mental health care support? Are you looking for GP? Are you comfortable to share what's happening? You give them a brief, and then they refer to whatever that person is. The conversation is logged, your appointment is scheduled, and you meet with a professional. That's one approach.
Okay.
Other is the responsibility we have to ourselves, right? We are also responsible for our own mental and emotional needs. And what happens is we often work to live instead of living that we may work. And that portion leads us to the victory because you live, breathe, eat what you do. And because you don't have a life outside of what you do, when what you do isn't serving you or working as well, you get frustrated, overwhelmed, and you start slipping into what we call chronic stress. Mm. And that gets physiological as well. This is those tension headaches, the physical ailments, your lower back, your limbs being painful, your legs, your struggle to wake up, yeah, fatigue, and all these other things. They're all stemming from an ignorance and overlooking of the reality of your own needs and your responsibility to you. So with self, you can reach out on Psychology Today and you can find yourself a counselor that you can then start investing in your mental and emotional upkeep at a personal level, mm-hmm, with or without the company. That way, whatever's happening at work, you're also able, or whatever's happening at home, you're able to go address in a private space where the company has no information near that. Because I do also respect that there's a lot of concern around company-based or company-led kind of counseling referrals.
Yeah, yes.
This does come from experience for most people. And for others, it's hearing other people's experiences and we over-identify.
Right.
It's not true with all organizations. It's not true with all organizations. But yes, some have gone on to abuse that experience. But I do believe that to date, that is something that's still been looked into and you know, being rectified. Mm. So the company can support you through HR, leading you to an external referral. Alternatively, have your own mental health care professional. I strongly suggest the latter, mm-hmm, because no one has that information but you and your therapist.
Yes.
It is better and it is best. And there are options. Mm. You've got your South African Depression and Anxiety Group, free counseling services. The only disadvantage would be that you might be speaking multiple professionals on different days because it is a free service.
Right.
The other alternative is if it's child-related concerns, child welfare is there. Free counseling, someone would be assigned to your case. We call it a case file, but someone would be assigned to guide you and support you on how to better parent, take care of your child, whatever concerns you may have. Social development offers a similar support as well. But when you're paying for that therapy, you are having a unique, tailored support intentionally drilled and aligned for you.
Mm, beautiful, beautiful. All right, so what role then does leadership play in addressing mental health at work?
I think let's start by addressing what role does leadership play in causing distress.
Right.
Right. So you know what happens is that, you know, we speak about burnout a lot. And yeah, the term burnout actually only applies to workplaces, by the way. This is something I myself recently learned also. You know, part of what helps provide, you know, inform support services to my clients and an audience at large is that I'm always learning and I'm always open to developmental trainings and things like that. So right, an occupational therapist was how burnout by history through research she has conducted is only something that happens in a workplace.
Okay.
And it happens when people no longer feel respected, appreciated, or acknowledged for their work.
Mm-hmm.
They find lack of meaning to what they do. They start to be exhausted and lethargic about what they're doing. And then physiologically also the ailments kick in, right? So it's a mental and physical disparity that happens. And then also they start to question and self-doubt.
Mm.
I'm probably not good enough for this. Now, what role would a leader play in that?
Yeah.
Well, one, not acknowledging your employees when they're doing well. It's so easy for us as human beings, but now even more so for leaders, that they need to be mindful of this. You cannot only focus on flaws. You must also clap hands when things are going well.
Right.
Public acknowledgement and appreciation of your team's ability to function, meet targets, and serve is important. And appreciation, yes, can be monetary, but you find people who are earning really great salaries and are still miserable in the workplace. So clearly, it's not just about the money. It's predominantly about how are you supporting me, equipping me, and capacity building me to be able to provide my you know, whatever skill set I'm supposed to provide in your space.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never been under your organization before. So how do you want me to do this? Teach me how you'd want me to do this, but also be open to hear what I would suggest, because I'm on the ground, and let's meet each other halfway. So organizations always have their own visions and ideals,
yeah,
of what a person should and their expectations of what they want.
Yeah.
But they seldom sit down to ask, okay, so what do you expect of us in order for you to perform this role? And that's where you need to meet each other halfway. Because now it's not just about what I'm doing for you, but it's also about what you're doing to help me. And then we're able to reach that bottom line together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Finding common ground.
I love that.
Managers need to listen to their employees. Take time to listen. And listening doesn't mean that you're now going to allow the employee to dictate and tell you what to do. No.
Sure.
Remember, you are the manager. And you know what the bottom line and where you're going. But by listening, you're able to also redirect or better manage that particular person. Because also, it's all a one-size-fits-all approach doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah.
For some people in workplaces, they have multiple experiences and that person becomes an asset because they're very diverse with what they bring. And then there are other employees who are having a first or second time experience in this role. And so they may be slightly behind about understanding certain terms. Be patient with that person. Devote time to that person. And if you can't do it yourself because of your own load as a manager, assign somebody else. But also, these assignments must be something that is looked into and making sure that you're not overstretching other people who do well to pick up the slack of people who are not doing so well. Let's also be realistic, right? And about, is Tuli doing her job well?
Yeah.
And if Tuli's not doing her job well, as my manager, what are you doing to ensure that Tuli starts doing her job better? What forms of support, assistance, guidance are you putting in place to be able to support Tuli? And if Tuli still is not performing, then now we need to start talking about warning one, warning two. Because now remember, I'm also responsible to play my part in the workplace.
Yes.
We can't only also say it's the space itself. The space may contribute, but what are you also doing to contribute to your own demise?
Yeah, yeah. Sure. I like
that. So it's a lot of accountability and responsibility on both ends.
Now, do you think that mental health days should be a standard part of employment benefits?
Absolutely. But a day alone is not enough. A day alone is not enough. It needs to be something that can be done every 3 months, I would recommend. Quarterly, because every quarter there's usually some form of targets that were being chased in any form of an environment,
Yes.
whether it's corporate, educational, or factories. There's quarterly. There's always some form of a target of some sorts that we're always chasing. So every 3 months, facilitating workshops, conversations around mental health, raising awareness also is so important as an African community. Even in 2025, there are still the someone, as we're speaking now, who's listening and feeling like, oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
I had no idea. So let us also not assume that everyone knows about the value and significance of mental health. People struggle a lot with you know, allowing themselves to learn to talk because we're raised in African communities to keep your business between you and your family. As a result, people get depressed severely, and that can often lead to also, in extreme cases, suicide ideation and ultimately suicidal attempts because it is exhausting to carry the weight of the world on your own. We are, by design, never meant to be alone. Now, scripture states this also of the beginning, right? In the beginning, there was Adam. He had the animals, the earth to subdue. He had dominion. And then Eve was made. Because we need people.
Yeah.
When we are more than one, we function better.
Mm.
When we are more than one, we support each other better. When we are more than one, we problem solve better. So you need a sense of community, not only in your workplace, but beyond your workplace too.
Yeah. Sure. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And then in conclusion, then how does workplace stress contribute to mental health challenges? You touched on this earlier when you were speaking about leadership specifically, but just the workspace in general, how does that contribute to mental health challenges?
Okay. So when we talk about, you know, mental health, let me just, before we you know, as we're wrapping up, just to make sure that everyone's on the same part. Mental health itself speaks to your ability to solve and navigate daily life stresses.
Okay.
Daily life stresses, being stuck in traffic like I was for about 2+ hours.
Yeah.
Okay. That's going to happen. and so it's that capacity to not be so frustrated that you start lashing out at everyone because right. you're stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
Basically. And road rage that we see a lot of. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's the ability to manage your mind, which is your thought processes, your decision-making capacity, and your emotions, which speaks to emotional intelligence, understanding what triggers your emotions and how you respond and react, and navigating that on a day-to-day with each interaction with different people in diverse communities, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So it's being well mentally and emotionally. But when we speak about the stress levels, we're talking about mental distress, which is the inability or the sense of feeling overwhelmed by what's happening. This mm-hmm. could be because you don't have you have insufficient support. There's a lot on your table, and you don't know how to manage your time well. There's a lot that you need to do, but maybe this role should be done by two people.
Yeah.
So it's all these different things of understanding, Guti, what leads to the distress or the stress level yeah. in that particular space.
Right.
And workplaces contribute when, again, you're not paying attention. You're just chasing a bottom line yako, and you are just assuming everything is hunky-dory. And it's easy to do that because some leaders will ask, is everyone doing okay? Are we coping? Nobody says a thing. That's the other problem because people are not communicating and expressing. And just like you did in the classroom, if you are not comfortable to say it in front of everybody, you stay behind and mention, "But hey, you know what? I wasn't really comfortable to say this in the session, but I've been really struggling a bit with communicating with Utuli." Now, poor leadership is going then to go jump at Utuli. "Why are you treating so-and-so?" That is very poor leadership. Poor leadership that. But good leadership will say, "Okay, tell me a bit more about this. What has happened?" The person unpacks, and then you're like, "Okay, have you tried this? Have you tried that?" Because you must equip your team to be able to resolve its own issues.
Mm.
What happens when you are not there? What happens when you are not there? Is things not going to function? Is the whole place going to crumble? So as a good leader, you enable and teach a person to be able to do for themselves. And should that be an issue, that's when you start to mediate. And remember, our mediator, you are standing in the middle. You are not on Tuli's side, and you are also not on Longi's side.
Mm-hmm.
You are right there in the middle to understand what is the problem and how can I help and how can we all move forward together.
Right.
Whether we like each other or not, umsebenzi must move. So how then do we meet each other halfway to ensure that that is done efficiently?
Sure. Beautiful. Now, just one more question that I have is, you know, there are those people who perform, they kind of overcompensate at work because of other stresses that are happening in their lives. Maybe things are falling apart at home, or there's another part of their lives that's not really going well, and work is the place where they kind of find peace. So they do a lot and they overperform, and they work long hours, first one in, last one out. And that might be good for the organization, but long-term might not be best for this employee. Is that something that the organization needs to look at, pay attention to, address, or is it one of those, well,
yes.
I mean, it's benefiting us in the moment, so we'll just let it go? Well, how do we address that?
And that is very true. Be very cautious of those ones because they burn out.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about burnout is it strips away at your sense of dignity to an extent, because you're not going to expect the day you just burst out into tears or you collapse, because our bodies are different.
Yes,
for others, the body's like, "Listen, we're in overdrive, mina, shut down," and you faint.
Hey.
Because you've overextended, trying to overcompensate and not be home because ubaleka your wife or ubaleka your husband or ubaleka labantwana or ubaleka li family, whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
And this is why I always speak a lot about how broad dimensions of wellness are.
Mm.
I believe in a very holistic approach to what we do. So while your career is significant, it is a means to an end.
Mm. Mm.
There's other parts of your life, like your friends, your family, that you need to sit and better connect with, because they're also going through something. Your children at school are going through something. Your partner at his job or her job is going through something. Your friends and their respective lives are going through something at multiple cylinders.
Yeah.
And the whole point of this is you must be able to start developing a culture of having a life beyond your workplace. Because here's the thing, the workplace will replace you. It's a job. You go in there, you perform the job, you act accordingly, and then when it's time to go, go.
Yeah.
And go live your own life.
Yeah.
Find new interests. Expose yourself to different things and move. The other thing that leads to, you know, that physiological collapse is we don't move our bodies, Monkey. We will sit at that desk for the full 8 hours and only move for the 15 minutes from my office to go warm up my food or go pick up my order for the food. And then you go sit back down.
Hey.
That is not, you need to move your body. Movement in itself is therapy. So sometimes you are not depressed, you just need the gym. Sometimes you are not depressed, you're just eating the wrong food. You are eating high cholesterol, high fats, and not enough protein, nutrition, and vegetable vitamins. And so it's these little things where your body is directly related to your mind, and your gut is also directly related to your mind. So sometimes, nyani, your gut is full. You have not gone to the toilet. And that's why you have such an excessive level of relief. But that also comes from eating the right food for your body to process, break down, and be able to release. And similar, so movement allows you an opportunity to sit and release tension, release stress, release, you know, a lot of things. And so does community and having a form of support. They are there to support you so that you still have the strength and the capacity to show up another day.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much, Tuli. I think that this has been a very relevant conversation to have, especially at this time of the year. And hopefully our workplaces will be safer and healthier places for us all. And hopefully we'll also take that personal responsibility as we go forward to be responsible for our own mental health and to be brave enough to speak up when we need help and to seek that help when we need it. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. And yes, let's hope the workplaces are going to be 10 times better. I hope that more than employees, that also a lot of managers and leaders have taken into consideration this, because they themselves also know what it's like when you're not really well supported. So let's not now extend an unhealthy culture of creating unhealthy and unsafe spaces for us to work.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Tuli Kakaza, wellness and development consultant. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.